This article is brought to you by the best-selling books I write every time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. 7 mistakes people make when trying to call out someone's toxic traits. Why confronting harmful behaviour goes wrong, and how to get it right. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to call out toxic traits without triggering a defensive collapse or making the situation worse. Name the behaviour, not the person's character. Prepare your specific example before you walk into the room. Follow through after the conversation, or nothing changes. Definition: a toxic traits conversation is a direct, structured discussion in which you name a specific pattern of harmful behaviour, explain its impact, and give the other person a clear account of what must change. It focuses on observable actions, not personality verdicts. Introduction. You have watched someone drain the energy out of every room they enter. Interrupt, undermine, manipulate, dismiss. You have told yourself you will address it. And then, when the moment comes, you either say nothing at all or you say everything at once and walk away feeling like you made it worse. That is the experience most people have with a toxic traits conversation. Not because they lack courage. Because they have no structure. They go in with emotion and come out with a mess. Here is the truth of it. Calling out toxic behavior is genuinely difficult. The person on the receiving end almost never thinks of themselves as the problem. They have explanations ready before you finish your first sentence. Without a clear method, you get pulled into their narrative and lose the thread of your own. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for handling a toxic traits conversation that you can use immediately. If you want to understand more about how passive-aggressive patterns show up before you confront them, start with how to address passive-aggressive behaviour that's silently eroding team synergy. Why calling out toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing you need to address someone's harmful behaviour and actually doing it well are two completely different things. Most people understand the first part. Almost nobody has been taught the second. The other person has had longer to rehearse their defence. They have explained away their behaviour to themselves for years. You are stepping into a conversation they have already won in their own head. You are holding multiple grievances at once. When behaviour is destructive over time, you accumulate examples. Walking into the conversation, the temptation to unload all of them is enormous, and it is almost always a mistake. Fear of being labelled the difficult one is real. In many workplaces and relationships, the person who names toxic behaviour ends up being recast as the problem. That fear is not irrational. It keeps a lot of people silent. Toxic behaviour often comes wrapped in charm or status. Some of the most damaging people are also the most socially skilled or professionally powerful. Calling them out carries real risk. Most people have no script prepared. They know what they want to say in theory, but under pressure, without a clear framework, the right words disappear and the wrong ones arrive. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Number 1. One behavior. One example. Choose a single, specific, observable behavior to address. Not a pattern summary. Not a list. One incident you witness directly, described in concrete terms. This is the ground under your feet for the entire conversation. Number 2. Your purpose must be change, not punishment. Walk in knowing what you want to be different after this conversation ends. If your purpose is to express how angry you are, the conversation will go sideways fast. If your purpose is a specific behavioural change, you have somewhere to steer. Number 3. A private setting with enough time. This conversation cannot happen in a corridor, a group message, or a moment stolen at the end of a meeting. You need a private space, and at least 30 minutes. Anything less, and you're setting yourself up to be interrupted or overheard. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right moment and setting. The timing and location of a toxic traits conversation determines its tone before you say a single word. Most people make the mistake of raising destructive behavior in the heat of the moment, right after an incident. That feels logical, it is emotionally driven, and it almost never works. The other person is still activated. You are still activated. Nobody is thinking clearly. Instead, choose a moment at least a few hours after the incident, when both of you are calm and neither is rushed. Pick a private space where you will not be overheard or interrupted. Schedule it deliberately, Do not spring it on the person without warning. Say something like, I need about 20 minutes with you. Is tomorrow morning or Thursday afternoon better for you? Avoid Monday mornings and Friday afternoons. Both carry their own emotional weight. Make sure you're not hungry, tired, or already agitated when you sit down. Example: a team member made a dismissive comment about a colleague's work in a group call. Rather than raising it in the chat thread immediately after, the manager sent a brief message. Can we find 20 minutes this week? I want to talk through something privately. The conversation happened 2 days later, in an office with the door closed. Both people arrived ready. Choosing the right moment signals that this is serious, not reactive. It also removes the other person's easiest defense. You are just emotional right now. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Open with the behavior, not the label. This is where most toxic traits conversations collapse inside the first 60 seconds. People walk in and say some version of you are toxic, you're manipulative, or you're undermining everyone. Those are character verdicts. The moment you deliver a verdict, the other person stops listening and starts defending. You've lost the conversation before it has started. Open instead with one specific, observable behavior, described in plain language. Write your opening sentence before you go into the room and practice it out loud. Use this structure. On specific date, during specific situation, I observed specific behavior. Keep your opening sentence under 20 words. Do not include your interpretation of their intent. Describe only what you saw. Pause after your opening sentence and let it settle. The shift from your passive-aggressive to in Tuesday's meeting, you interrupted Sarah 3 times while she was presenting her section, is the difference between a conversation and a confrontation. One gives the other person something to respond to. The other gives them something to fight. For more on framing feedback around specific behaviors rather than personality, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth your time before you go in. Step 3. Name the impact clearly. After you name the behavior, you name what it cost. This is not about expressing how upset you were. It is about connecting the behavior to a concrete outcome, a person who pulled back, a decision that got delayed, a team that stopped contributing in meetings. Impact is evidence. Feelings are context. Name the impact on a third party or on the work itself, not only on yourself. Be specific. After that meeting, 2 team members told me they did not feel safe raising ideas. Do not exaggerate. Overstatement gives the other person an easy target. If the impact was ongoing, describe the pattern briefly. This has happened in 4 of the last 6 meetings. Then stop. Do not move forward until they have had a chance to respond. Example: when he cut across Marcus during his presentation, he stopped speaking and did not contribute again for the rest of the session. That is the 3rd time in the past month that someone has gone quiet after being interrupted in a group setting. The team's output is shrinking because people are pulling back. Naming impact transforms the conversation from a personal grievance into a professional concern. It also makes denial much harder. Read scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy for ready-made language you can adapt for this moment. Step 4. Hold the space for their response. After you have named the behavior and its impact, your job is to stop talking and listen. This is the step most people skip or rush through. They make their case and then they keep talking to fill the silence. Or they anticipate the pushback and try to preempt it. Both are mistakes. The silence after your statement is where the real conversation begins. Ask a direct, open question. What is your perspective on what happened? Do not offer interpretations of their intent. Let them speak first. If they become defensive, do not escalate. Simply restate what you observed. If they deny it, you can say, I understand you see it differently. What I described is what I witnessed. If they shift to attacking you, name it. I want to stay focused on what I brought up. Can we do that? For guidance on what to do when defensiveness escalates, how to respond when a team member reacts defensively to synergy-focused feedback will give you specific language for staying grounded. Holding space does not mean accepting excuses. It means giving the other person a genuine chance to respond before you move to what needs to change. Step 5. State what needs to change. This is the step that separates a meaningful toxic traits conversation from a venting session with an audience of one. You have named the behavior. You have named the impact. Now you name the specific change you need to see. Without this, the conversation ends with the other person feeling criticized, but having no idea what to do differently. State the required change in a single, specific sentence. Frame it as behavior, not attitude. Going forward, I need you to let people finish before responding is clear. I need you to be more respectful is not. Ask if they understand what you are asking. Does that make sense as a concrete change? Set a time frame. I will check in with you on this in 2 weeks. Confirm what happens if the behavior continues. If this continues, it will need to go to HR. Example, what I need from you specifically is this in group meetings. You wait until the speaker has finished before you respond. If you have an urgent point, you write it down and raise it when there is space. I will follow up with you in 2 weeks. If the pattern continues after that, I will need to escalate. The clarity of a specific behavioral ask is an act of respect. It treats the other person as capable of change and removes any later claim that they did not know what was expected. For scripts tailored to situations where someone's behavior is isolating them from the group, see scripts for telling a team member their behavior is isolating them from the group. Step 6. Document what was said. Before you leave that room, or within the hour after, write down what was discussed, not because you're building a legal case, but because memory is unreliable and toxic behavior patterns often involve selective recollection on the other person's part. Documentation is your anchor. Write a brief summary of the key points, what behavior you named, what impact you described, what change you requested, and what the other person said in response. Send a follow-up message that same day. Following our conversation this morning, I wanted to confirm what we discussed. Keep it factual and neutral. Keep a private record of the date, the setting, and any witnesses if relevant. If you're in a management role, follow your organization's documentation procedures. This step is unglamorous, but essential. Patterns of toxic behavior rarely shift after one conversation. When the follow-up conversation happens, and it often does, you want the record of the first one to be clear and undisputed. Common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team synergy, and what to say instead addresses what happens when these conversations go undocumented and the cycle repeats. Step 7. Follow through with consistency. One conversation really changes deeply ingrained toxic behavior. What changes? It is what you do in the weeks that follow. If you called out the behavior and then said nothing when it happened again 2 weeks later, you sent a clear message the consequences you mentioned were not real. Toxic patterns thrive in environments where accountability is announced and then abandoned. At your 2 week check-in, acknowledge any genuine improvement specifically. I noticed you let Marcus finish his point in Wednesday's meeting. That made a difference. If the behavior occurred, name it again with the same precision. The interruptions happened again on Thursday. I want to remind you of what we agreed. If there has been no change, follow through on the next step you outlined, whether that is HR, a formal review, or a structural change to how you work together. Resist the pull to let it slide, because 1 week was better than the last. Keep the follow-up conversations shorter and more direct than the first one. The groundwork has been laid. How to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy has practical guidance on reopening a conversation that has stalled or regressed. Follow through is where your credibility lies. Without it, the first conversation was just noise. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote settings add specific complications to an already difficult conversation, and they deserve direct attention. Insist on video, not text or email. Calling out toxic traits by email is almost always a mistake. You lose tone, expression, and the ability to read what is actually landing. Always request a private video call, and always turn your camera on. Create deliberate privacy in a virtual space. Remote conversations happen in shared homes and open plan offices with thin walls. Ask the other person to find a private room before you begin. Offer to reschedule if they cannot. Proceeding when they are clearly in a shared space undermines the whole conversation. Slow down more than you think you need to. On video, silence feels longer and more awkward than in person. People rush to fill it. Build in deliberate pauses after each key point. Silences on a video call are not failures. They're the other person processing what he said. Follow up in writing sooner. In a remote setting, the follow-up message matters even more because there's no hallway conversation, no body language cue to check in on. Send your summary within 2 hours of the call ending. Watch for toxic traits that are amplified by remote settings, behaviors like talking over people, staying off camera, going silent in group calls, or sending undermining messages in chat threads are all forms of toxic behavior that remote work makes easier to hide and harder to confront. Name the specific digital behavior, not just how you come across online. The core process holds in any setting. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: attacking the person's character instead of describing their behavior. Why it happens: accumulated frustration turns into a verdict. You are just manipulative. What to do instead? Stay with the specific incident. On Tuesday, you agreed to the plan in the meeting and then told 3 people privately to ignore it is something they can respond to. The mistake: bringing up every past grievance in a single conversation. Why it happens: once you finally open the door, everything that was behind it tries to come through at once. What to do instead? Prepare one example in advance and commit to it. File the others for future conversations if needed. The mistake: having the conversation publicly or in front of witnesses who are not necessary. Why it happens: sometimes the behavior happens in a group setting and it feels natural to address it there. What to do instead? Always move the conversation to a private setting, even if it means addressing it later rather than in the moment. The mistake: accepting an apology and skipping the specific ask for change. Why it happens: an apology feels like resolution. It really is. What to do instead? Acknowledge the apology and still name the specific behavior change you need. I appreciate that. What I still need to hear is what you will do differently. The mistake: not following through when the behavior continues. Why it happens: the first conversation was exhausting. The idea of having another one is demoralizing. What to do instead? Treat the follow-up conversation as shorter and simpler than the first. The groundwork is already laid. Your job is to hold the line, not rebuild the case. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin, and after each cycle. I have identified one specific, observable behavior to address, not a general complaint. I have chosen a private setting with enough time and no risk of interruption. I have written my opening sentence and practiced it out loud. I can name the concrete impact of the behavior on a third person or on the work. I have a specific behavioral change in mind, described in one clear sentence. I know what the next step is if the behavior continues after this conversation. I have a plan to document what was said within an hour of the conversation ending. I have scheduled or planned a follow-up check-in within 2 weeks. I'm going into this conversation to change behavior, not to express how I feel about the person. I have prepared for the most likely defensive responses and know how I will stay grounded. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real process for a toxic traits conversation, not just good intentions and a vague sense that something needs to be said. You know how to prepare, what to say, and how to hold the line after. Name the specific behavior, never the character. One incident. Concrete language. Name the impact on others or on the work, not just on your own feelings. Open the space for the response and resist the urge to fill the silence yourself. State the specific change you need, with a time frame and a consequence. Document what was said before the memory fades and the other person's version solidifies. Follow through at 2 weeks. Consistency is where your credibility is built or lost. In remote settings, insist on video, slow down deliberately, and follow up sooner. If the behavior you're facing is more covert, start with how to address passive-aggressive behavior that's silently eroding team synergy before you use this process. If you're dealing with a situation where someone's behavior has already damaged their standing with the group, scripts for telling a team member their behavior is isolating them from the group will give you language for that harder conversation. And if you're still struggling to open the door at all, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy is where to begin. A toxic traits conversation is never comfortable, but done right, it is one of the most courageous and useful things you will ever do for the people around you. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits conversation? A toxic traits conversation is a direct discussion in which you name a specific pattern of harmful behavior and explain its impact on others. Done well, it focuses on observable actions rather than character judgments, and it gives the other person a clear picture of what needs to change. How do you start a toxic traits conversation without it turning into a fight? Start by naming one specific behavior and its concrete impact, not a list of grievances and not a character verdict. Choose a private setting, prepare your opening sentence in advance, and stay focused on what you observed rather than what you believe about the person. Why do people avoid calling out toxic traits even when the damage is obvious? Most people avoid it because they fear the other person will deny it, retaliate, or make them look like the problem. They also lack a clear structure for the conversation, so they either say nothing or say too much and lose control of what happens next. What are the most common mistakes in a toxic traits conversation? The most common mistakes are attacking the person instead of the behavior, bringing up too many incidents at once, having a conversation publicly, and failing to prepare what you want to say. Each of these triggers defensiveness and derails any chance of a genuine response. How do you respond when someone denies their toxic traits during a conversation? Stay grounded in a specific example you prepared. Say what you observed, name the impact, and let the silence do its work. Do not argue about their intent. You're not trying to win a debate. You're putting the behavior on record so it cannot be ignored. Can calling out someone's toxic traits actually change their behavior? It can, but only if the conversation is handled with precision and consistency. A single well-structured conversation plants a seed. Follow-through matters more than the first confrontation. Without consequences for continued behavior, most people revert to their patterns within weeks. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.